Everybody feels this bondage.
Not immediately, not in the same way. At different stages of development, I am speaking very summarily, but in some individual cases, it may take many, many births to feel this bondage. In the first place, in the beginning, one is so much absorbed that life goes away only in one absorption. Another life may go in another absorption, and so on. It is only when one develops that one even comes to hear of it. That's why Shruti is given so much of importance in our tradition. That even to be able to hear that you have a soul behind you, that there is God behind you, is itself a great occasion. Because once you even hear it, even if you don't believe in it, afterwards you can't be the same as before. Because once you know that, once you have heard that there is something of this kind, it will always help your inner feeling that there is something else. This feeling that there is something else is inherent in our being, because it is really there. Something else is always there. Because it is there, it is always pressing upon us. So we feel there is something else. Now this body, life and mind growing upwards in search of higher knowledge creates three instrumentalities of its development.
Excuse me, is the psychic entity the consciousness?
Consciousness is a word which includes also the transcendental, universal and all that. Word consciousness is a very big term. But of that consciousness, individual is one portion. And this psychic entity is a kind of a delegate of that individual self. So it is also consciousness, but not this supreme consciousness. It is the psychic consciousness, you might say. The psychic being has a psychic consciousness. What it is exactly in detail we shall examine. Actually the whole chapter is devoted to that particular thing. What is psychic consciousness? Now, this body, life and mind in its process of moving from unconsciousness to knowledge produces three things. It produces first an elementary process of memory. You will see that memory plays a great role in the process from unconsciousness to knowledge. Animal has very short memory. At a certain higher level, memory becomes very powerful. And in the human being, memory plays a very great role. It is even so much so that some people say that memory is a man. That if you lose memory, then you are no more what you are. This is not entirely true, but I mean, it is such an important element that people are led to believe that memory is the whole of man. Man is nothing but his memory. In any case, memory is certainly one of the important instruments that is created by body, life and mind movement. The second is the ego consciousness. The ego consciousness very often seems to be created by the memory, but it's not really so. It is because there is memory of the self that we feel that memory creates a self. But actually what happens is that there is a memory of the self. So there is an independent creation, formation, like memory itself as a formation, a special kind of faculty. Similarly, ego is a special kind of formation which takes place. Now this ego He is not an entity. It is simply a formation. And not even a formation, it is a sense. That's why you use the word ego sense. Aham bhava, not aham, but aham bhava. There is an ego sense. It's a sense which identifies itself now with this formation, now with that formation, now with that formation. It's like a jumping monkey, you might say. It wears this cap now, wears that cap now, wears another cap. Egoistic consciousness is really kind of an imitating consciousness. Because behind it there is a psychic entity, which is the delegate of the individual self, a true individual. Therefore, in this body, life and mind, an imitation of that psychic entity is created, a formation is created. So ego sense is actually a kind of a figure to imitate the real psychic being which is behind, which is not seen. But because of the pressure of the psychic entity, a figure of it is created here in our body, life and mind, which says, I am this body, I am this life, I am this mind. It identifies sometimes with this body, then this particular desire, this particular thought, then discards it. If somebody falls ill, then says, I am not this body. But if somebody is very handsome, one feels that he is this body. One does not own the body which one does not like, but one wants to own the body if one likes it. So it depends upon the choice of the individual, of the egoistic consciousness, to bind itself with this or with that. So ego consciousness is an ego sense which regards itself as indifferent of all the rest. Although it is not independent of all the rest, but regards itself as independent of all the rest. That is why it is called the false sense. If the ego regarded to be finite and regarded itself to be completely dependent upon all the rest, then ego sense as we understand it would not be operating. Ego sense operates as ego sense because although it is finite, and although in reality depends upon a whole universe, it regards itself to be completely independent of the universe. Because it is not aware of the universe. It is ignoring the universe. Therefore it sees only itself and thinks it is really independent of all the rest because of the veil. The third thing that is created in this consciousness is self-consciousness, which is different from ego consciousness. Ego consciousness also pretends to be self-consciousness. But apart from this ego consciousness, there is also a self-consciousness in us. So memory, ego and self-consciousness, these three things are characteristics of our present movement. Our entire psychology can be described in these three terms. We are a bundle of memory, ego and self-consciousness. This is all that we are. It expresses itself through our movements of body, life and mind. Now the psychic entity which is behind would like to awake all these instruments gradually and would like to put pressure and would wish that all of them also would agree to be awakened. But since there is resistance in this unconsciousness, memory is short, egoistic consciousness is false, self-consciousness is only faint, because of these limitations in the body, life and mind, the action of the psychic entity is not very powerful. It feels as if we are hindered by the movement, slow movement of body, life and mind, memory, ego and self-experience. This is called the bondage which is experienced by the psychic entity. That the psychic entity is not able to express itself fully in the body, life and mind. That it has to depend upon the awakening of the body, life and mind. It has to wait for its acceptance, consent. This is what is called really the bondage. When we say, I feel bondage, it is this real bondage. There is a sense of bondage which is vague in the beginning, of which I spoke earlier. But when you go to the psychic entity, then it can tell you of its real bondage. It will say that, well, I am luminous about myself. I have come from the Supreme Individual Self and I know what is the Supreme Divine. But I am given this task to awaken this body, life and mind. And I am waiting for the time when they will consent to grow. They will consent to open up to this light. This state where the psychic entity is not able to manifest fully in body, life and mind is the experience of the bondage. And this bondage is a real bondage. It's not an illusory bondage. It's a real experience of bondage.
So it waits in the right time?
It waits, exactly. Now this is the point where if it is gradually developed, body, life and mind awake, open up to the psychic entity is able to throw its light, then the whole process begins to move upwards. And when the body, life and mind are so developed that they become willing servitors of the psychic entity, and they also allow the floodlight of the individual self and universal consciousness and the transcendental, when this happens, that is a state of liberation, mukti, moksha. But this is where today, where we are in the state of bondage, this is where we are.